From WILL's Illinois Newsroom, this is 217 Today. I'm Reginald Hardwick. It's Monday, June 7th. Coming up, marginalized versus privileged students. Which ones do you think survive the online learning experience better? Some are surprised by what a new study says. That's coming up in a few minutes. But first, these headlines. You can expect more fallout this week after Governor J.B. Pritzker signed into law legislative district maps to govern elections for the next 10 years. Pritzker said in a statement Friday that the lines drawn exclusively by Democrats who control the General Assembly preserve minority representation. Republicans say Pritzker went back on a campaign promise that he would veto maps drawn by politicians. As Hannah Meisel reports, that's not the only criticism he's facing.
The governor signed the maps over the objections of community advocacy organizations, which had begged Democrats to wait until official 2020 census data, delayed by the pandemic, is published in August. But the majority party had an incentive to wrap up the process before June 30th, or else risk a 50-50 chance for Republicans to take over mapmaking. While a candidate, Pritzker said he'd veto a map drawn by lawmakers or political staff, but the governor has since changed course, saying he'd only veto an unfair map. On Thursday, he said he was still reviewing the maps.
I think it's important for us to evaluate whether we're going to get diverse candidates from all over the state running in these districts.
Lawsuits over the new maps are widely expected. Democrats may also tweak the maps this fall after census data is published. I'm Hannah Meisel.
Champaign County is reporting a new death from COVID-19. The Public Health Department says a man in his 80s is the 149th person to die from the illness. There are 122 active cases in Champaign County right now. More than 90,000 people in the county have been fully vaccinated for COVID-19. Statewide, health officials reported nearly 900 new cases over the weekend. 69 Illinoisans lost their lives, bringing the COVID-19 death toll to nearly 23,000. The Federal Centers for Disease Control and Prevention says more than half of Illinois adults are fully vaccinated. The head of the Illinois Public Health Department told a college graduating class in Western Illinois to write their own stories and make those stories Pulitzer Prize winners. Rich Egger reports on the speech to Knox College graduates in Galesburg.
Dr. Ngaze Ezike says she was born and raised in South Central Los Angeles. She says she never dreamed that she might one day be a state's public health director and build a team to lead that state through a global pandemic.
That's now a chapter of my story, but it's not the end of my story. When this pandemic ends, there'll be a new chapter to be written, and it just keeps going.
Ezike says no chapter should be deleted or left out. She says they all lead to the present moment. And she noted some of the best insights are gained during some of life's roughest patches. Due to the pandemic, Ezike recorded her remarks in a video play during Knox's commencement ceremonies. Around 230 students graduated. Rich Ucker reporting.
If you are still searching for a place to be vaccinated against COVID-19, Carle Health says Champaign County residents can attend walk-in clinics at Carle Champaign on Curtis Road or Carle Urbana on Windsor Road. In Macon County, there will be a clinic for people wanting the Pfizer vaccine today at Moroa Forsyth Senior High School in Moroa. Tomorrow, a clinic will be held at Warrensburg Latham Middle School in Warrensburg. This week, Vermilion County will hold clinics for people needing their second Pfizer vaccine dose. Tomorrow's clinic is at Hoopston High School. On Wednesday, it will be at Georgetown High School. We have all of this vaccination information on our website, illinoisnewsroom.org. The number of Illinois children needing foster care has increased by about 10% over the last year. As Illinois Newsroom's Brian Moline reports, that's led to a shortage of available foster parents.
Libby Moeller with Illinois CASA, court-appointed special advocates, says the COVID-19 pandemic initially led to fewer calls to the Illinois Department of Children and Family Services. But she says once schools started once again holding in-person classes, the number of calls for foster care rose dramatically.
And we all over the state have seen large numbers upticking everywhere. And it has been for definitely the past 4 to 5 months.
Karina Hohenschel is a foster parent in Southern Illinois. She says her organization, Be Strong Families, provides much-needed support for foster parents.
The majority of foster parents quit after their first year. There's a lack of information and education on the amount of trauma and stress that is involved.
Moeller and Hohenschel made their comments on the 21st show. I'm Brian Moline, Illinois Newsroom.
DCFS recently reported that there are more than 21,000 children in the foster care system statewide. Still to come, when colleges like the University of Illinois switched to online-only learning last year, many people expected the end for many marginalized students. But a new study is painting a different picture. That's next on 217 Today.
Hi, this is Chantal Vaca, and I'm the engagement producer for the 21st. And I'm curious, what issues in Illinois matter to you most right now? Join the 21st Text Club and add to our weekly conversation. Just text TALK to 217-803-0730. That's 217-803-0730. Let's keep in touch.
This is 217 Today. I'm Reginald Hardwick, in for Brian Moline. When students shifted to online learning last spring, some researchers thought that many underrepresented college students in STEM majors would become demotivated and drop out. But a study of 182 undergraduate students in a biology course at the University of Illinois did not find much evidence to support that claim. Illinois Newsroom's Carolina Garibay spoke with U of I educational psychology professor and first author of the study, Jennifer Cromley. They discussed some of the pandemic-related changes that occurred last spring and what the study really tells us about students' motivation.
We think of kind of three changes as happening simultaneously. First of all, the courses went online. Second of all, the students weren't on campus. And third of all, they were with their families. And so there were a lot of changes happening that happened all at once.
And you said that the questions were kind of designed to around that idea of motivation and resilience. Can you go over the definitions of motivation and resiliency that you used for the purposes of the study?
So we actually gave a very large number of questionnaires, but each student actually only answered two questionnaires. We kept them very short. But some of the kinds of things that we asked about were interest in biology, self-efficacy or confidence for the tasks that you need to do, some variables that sort of have to do with how focused you are on grades. We had questions about relatedness to other students. Resilience was actually something that came out when we were analyzing the results. That wasn't something that we measured.
In the news article about this study too, it mentioned that there are assumptions that a student's demographic characteristics and background can determine how resilient they are. And you kind of caution against this, right? I'm curious why and what you think about that.
Yeah, so I think we were struck by quite a few articles that were coming out that were saying students of color are being demotivated. We cite a number of them in the study. And I mean, of course, there have been awful things happening. We don't, you know, we're very careful to, you know, put that front and center. But if you assume that a certain demographic is just going to fall apart when bad stuff is going on, well, that really flies in the face of a bunch of other things that we know about resilience, right? So we know that people can come from very difficult circumstances and accomplish amazing things.
Is there anything really striking that you didn't really expect to find that you found with the study?
Well, I think what surprised me probably will come across as extremely academic, which is it wasn't like there was an obvious group that dropped after the first exam and then recovered, and another group that just stayed high all the time, another group that stayed low all the time. But I do think that it's a cautionary tale against stereotyping people. So, yeah, maybe that's kind of also not a surprise, but a reminder about the complexity of human experience. Because we also had very, very privileged students. And one of them wrote about parents screaming at them constantly to, you know, get an A+ in the course, not having a quiet place to study, and actually having to shut themselves in the bathroom. So I think that as faculty and staff, academic advisors, you know, work with students and talk with students, it's just really important to find out from that student, what is their situation like? How are they doing? And not to make any assumptions on the basis of demographics, but to, you know, and not to dismiss any history, right? Not to act as if everybody has the same history or the same privileges, but to find out from that person, what are they going through right now?
You were listening to Jennifer Cromley, educational psychology professor and first author of the study examining pandemic-related changes' effect on college students in STEM. You can find a link to the study at illinoisnewsroom.org. Finally, your forecast. The National Weather Service in Lincoln says it will be hot and humid this week, with daily chances for scattered afternoon thunderstorms. High temperatures today and tomorrow will be between 81 and 85 degrees. By Friday, we could see the low 90s. That's all for today. 217 Today is produced by Carolina Garibay. Reporting today contributed by Hannah Meisel, Rich Egger, and Brian Moline. Music by the Kilbourne Alley Blues Band. I'm Reginald Hardwick. 217 Today is a production of Illinois Public Media. Thank you for listening. Stay safe, and we'll talk to you again on Tuesday. Make it a great day.